chapter 1, verse 37. Luke chapter 1. It's where the Spirit wants me to start. Shatakarabos. It says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Amen. For with God, nothing. Some things?
Nothing.
Huh? Nothing shall be impossible. Eh? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Another version says, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing at all. That means everything. Everything falls within the realm of possibility.
Amen.
Praise the living God. Eh?
Amen.
Another scripture in the book of Daniel 11 says, "They that know their God shall be strong and do not just exploits, mighty or great exploits." You're with me? They that know their God, it's Daniel 11, 32, eh? In case you're looking for it and you don't know. Eh? Daniel 11, 32. "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits."
Amen.
Mighty, mighty, great exploits.
Amen.
For with God, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing is outside the realm of possibility. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I wish you knew how strong that statement is, because by the time we're through today, I want to lay a foundation for something to change your mindset. Some of you, your mindset is in the right place. Others need their minds to strongly be changed. Because you see, I believe that the life of man and the environment of man are shrouded in mystery. Mystery, okay? So there's a lot that man takes for granted in the daily walk that they don't seem to realize. There's a lot of mystery taking place around them. And this is both the natural and the spiritual man. Eh?
Huh?
The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 25 and verse 2, it says that, "For it is the glory of God to conceal a matter." Huh? This version says, "But the honor of kings to search out the matter." That means every time a person seeks out a mystery in the kingdom and it is unveiled to them, in the spirit they gain honor.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Huh? Praise the living God. And so, the life of man, by the wisdom of God, man himself plus his environment is shrouded in mystery. You see, parables are not just spoken. Men can actively be involved in a parable like chess pieces, and they have no clue. Please hear me. You can be, or men can be acting out parables. Huh? And through those parables, as they act and do their daily activities, God is speaking something. It's only men who have learned to discern the ways of God that can look at something and see people moving and doing things and say, this is what the Lord is
Amen.
Saying. Now let me explain. I told you the life of man himself and his environment is shrouded in mystery, so that to him who seeks and it is unveiled to him, honor in various degrees is deposited upon that person.
Amen.
Now, let me use something that all of us may understand. You see, when a president falls in the media, to a certain group of people, he's just fallen. But to a spiritual man, it has a spiritual implication.
Amen.
How many of you understand that? The devil uses media to control the psyches of men. So he controls the narrative. But God can use that same media to play out a parable.
Amen.
So that the discerning man can see.
Amen.
And have no excuse. You see, that's why when finally men come before God and they stand before him, they will have no excuse, because many parables are played before them. When a president falls, there is a mystery attached to his falling. God will use public figures when all eyes are watching to display a message. In 2015, the president of Zimbabwe, Mugabe, fell. And all of you saw memes around of him slipping and falling. I don't have time to go into this, but there are sequence of events that followed that until he was removed. Now, praise the living God. Parables can play right in front of you. And if you're not discerning, you think it's... Listen, Harry and Meghan is more than just about them. Oh, Lord. Huh? There is more to the life of Harry and Meghan than what's happening in their lives. There's a parable playing out. Oh, praise the Lord. And a man who does not have spiritual sight will look at these things, or his whose sight has not developed will look at them and just think this is just drama. In those two, there's a message of reconciliation. Now, I don't have time, especially for the UK. And so what the devil is trying to destroy... Anyway, let me leave it. Praise the living God. Huh? Parables play out. I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt that men have various degrees of sight. We see at different frequencies. Very different frequencies. There's a time a lady came to me and asked me, what time does your church start on Sunday? And I told the lady that actually, we don't have church on Sunday. We have it on Friday. And she said, how can you not have church on Sunday? Sunday is the day of rest. The Bible says, you know, took me through all this. And I realized men have different degrees of frequencies of sight. Someone has reduced sight of worship to a Sunday. Now, while that might not have a problem in and of itself, the issue comes that God can visit you from Monday to Saturday and you miss him. Hey! Are you getting me? So someone, and there are churches out there, totally convinced that Sunday is the day when God visits. It's almost like that lame man near the pool, where an angel comes once in a while. But we have been transitioned away from that. Your Tuesday can be your Sunday. Amen. Huh? Amen. Praise the living God. Eh? And so men have various degrees of frequency, of seeing. We see differently. And so, when a man, that's why in scripture the Bible says, God tells Abraham, look at the stars. That is a height of sight. There was a man called Lot, who the Bible refers to as righteous Lot. And scripture says that Abraham tells him, choose land. Whichever direction you want, you can have it. And even though he was righteous, Lot believed in the same God as Abraham, his sight was at the level of land. And so God says, don't look at the land. He says, look east, west, south, north, everything I have given unto thee. In the church, there are Lots and Abrahams. Huh? There are frequencies of sight. The same parables can be playing out in your life and you're totally clueless. Rabbi, they broke my heart. And a man who sees at a certain frequency. Anyway. Oh my God. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Now, I told you the life of man himself, and his environment is shrouded in mystery. Just like this lady who was sure that you can confine God to a particular day. Let me take you somewhere. God created the earth and the heavens in how many days? Are you sure? We should break some theology here. Eh? Are you sure? Let me ask a question again. God created the heavens and the earth in how many days? Let's go back. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You'll have to take me because I want us to go somewhere, but now I thought this would be easy. Genesis 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The NIV says heavens, plural. All right? Creation now starts what we see as God working. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters. God said, let there be light. All right? From then on, it's not the creation of the earth. It's literally decorating it. Eh? You're with me? So, plants, animals, what? In fact, okay, because someone might say, but man of God, let me take you deeper. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. Genesis 2 and verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Day. Okay, we'll go back today and say, Lord, have mercy. So, you will learn from here that God did not create the heavens and the earth. Okay? That's why the Bible starts by saying that the earth was desolate and formless. Now, the day that we're talking about there, let me just highlight it because we'll have another day to touch it. But the day talked about here is not amongst the seven. Because the seven, we know in Scripture, let there be light, first day. And continue all the way up to the sixth day, then the seventh day he rests. That day there is not amongst the seven. Oh, Jesus. You know, sometimes I think all this is common knowledge, but now, it's not among the seven. The day referred to here is an eternal day. Oh, Lord. Sometimes in Scripture referred to as the day of the Lord. Huh? Okay. You know, I sat with someone and I asked a question. I said, when we go to heaven, and you don't have to go there when you've died. When you go to heaven, the Bible says that you shall have mansions. Say amen.
Amen.
So I asked a simple question that many people don't seem to take into consideration. If you're given a mansion, and the Bible says, Jesus says it himself, there are many rooms. My question to you is this. If you won't be dirty, there can't be a bathroom. If you won't be sleeping, there can't be a bedroom. If you won't be eating, there can't be a kitchen. At least you eat out of pleasure, not hunger. So what are the rooms? What I'm trying to set here before I go into what really the Lord wants to take us to is to get you to a place to understand. You must learn to set your affections on things above.
Amen.
Ask questions. It's a way of seeking. Praise the living God. So the life of man is shrouded in mystery. And I brought those things up just so that I can give you homework. Go. Most of you never do the homework. But the life of man is shrouded in mystery. I want you to understand this. I need an Adam. Adam, come. Imagine him more muscular. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, there's something profound that God did when he created man. The Bible says he has a spirit, soul, body. Contrary to common belief, man is not just a spirit. Actually, we often say man is a spirit with a soul in a body. Even that in itself is not absolutely correct, and I've explained to a few people. Man cannot just be a spirit. The definition of man is spirit, soul, body. To add emphasis to that, when a man dies and leaves this earth, according to Scripture, he will get a new body. So there's no time when you won't have. I think today is a very interesting day. Okay? So God creates man. the very definition of which is spirit, soul, and body. In each of those categories, he places mysteries. So, the body in and of itself is not useless. Because scripture says, after creating man, it was very good. And that man was both body, soul, and spirit. So even though the body is fallen now, please understand that when Adam fell, scripture says that he died, but he was still alive. Now, every man absent of salvation in the mind of God is a dead man walking. Literally a zombie. Literally. Huh? So, it's at this point that I discovered, and I want to emphasize to you, that there are various degrees of life. Plants are alive. Biology. Huh? But they are not self-conscious. Animals are also alive. They are self-conscious, but not God-conscious. Then there's what they call human life, the life that a person lives from the time Adam fell, that kind of life. Then there is a divine life that you get when you get born again. Are you with me? Yeah. When Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Please understand that if your frequency of sight just thinks that means that you're going to buy a car, get land, you're looking too low, although those things belong in it. Too low. The life that he's talking about, and hear me carefully, the Bible says, it says man was fearfully and wonderfully made. On one level, that scripture means that you were meticulously designed. The structure of your bones, the way you look, skin color, all that perfectly and meticulously put together. But there's a deeper mystery to that scripture. And I'm convinced it means this. That the functions that are within a man are functions of power. There is a power that, first of all, natural man, absent of Christ, has. Then there's a power divine man has. Please, let's be on the same wavelength. Eh? You get me? So, God creates Adam and puts in him factors of power. Did you know that science has now proved, because I have to go to science, some people, that's the level they see at, but science has now proved that in man's body, in the genetics of man, every single genome, they call it a genome, eh? Every genome of everything in the universe can be found. Now, a frog is found in man, a mushroom, an orange, a tree. They've even found that the components of stars are found. Now, I'm heading somewhere. Are you with me? So God creates man and puts all the components of the universe inside this man. Are you with me? That's the reason why when man fell, everything fell along with him. Everything to the uttermost parts of the universe. Because there's a distinct connection between man and everything God created. Now, my question to you is this. If everything God created lies within me, how can I not be able to influence it? Oh, Lord. How can I not control a plant or a tree? How can I not speak to the sun? How can I not? Are you understanding where I'm coming from? Because there's a connection in man to everything. All the minerals found in the ground are found in man's blood. All the major minerals, copper, silicon, sulfur, all of them. If I had time, eh? Just in the body of man, there is power. Just in the body of man. And listen to me carefully. Because you see, life was never supposed to happen to you. You were supposed to dictate it. Oh God. Oh God. Huh? You were never meant to be shaped by life. You were meant to shape it. Now, you see, when God creates Adam, he puts faculties within the man that would ensure that every need in life, he can sort it out by himself. Listen to me carefully. Man is the only creature created throughout the universe that can co-create with God. The only one. Now, the first place of co-creation is pro-creation. Man or woman come together, give birth to a child, and it's profound because it's the only time in all eternity the Spirit of God can be replicated. So in a child, two spirits join together and there's an input without God breathing. And a baby comes out with the Spirit of God. Angels, as far as we know, don't reproduce. Demons don't. So, everything in man has a capacity to procreate, to create, literally to reproduce an image of God. Nothing in creation, nothing can do that except man. That's one. So man is a creation instrument. First, through procreation. Secondly, through the hands. The Bible says in the book of Exodus 31, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Bezalel and he was given wisdom of workmanship. That's hands. So with your hands, man can create anything that they put their hands to. These guys were building an entire tower by the work of their hands. Now, so man can procreate, man can create with his hands, man can create with his mouth. The Bible says that life and death are in the power. Man can create with his mind. Now, I'm trying to tell you here, you're literally a creation instrument. I was looking through something a couple of years back, and I came to the realization, oh my God, that do you know that, again, I'll go back to science. Some of you, it's easier to do that. Science has even proved it, that the moment you make a choice in your mind and stick to it, it actually creates an alternate timeline. Oh, Lord. In other words, we literally bend time. What they found is that if I make a choice in my mind and I focus on it, it will begin to shape reality. Now, for those who are with me, you've been with me a while, I've explained this, that the moment you think about something, the moment you, now, I haven't even said visualize, I said think. The moment you think about something, in the spirit realm, it exists. Okay? And I like to give an example that's easy for everyone to remember, red shoes. So you think about red shoes. The moment you think about the red shoes, in an alternate world, they are a reality. They exist. But you see, when you stop thinking about them, it's almost like, I don't know but it's almost like, I want you to imagine something shapes, then when you stop thinking about it, it mists. You think about it again, it shapes. You with me? Yes. Now, when you add desire to thought, it concretizes. It becomes concrete. Concrete. So the red shoes now, even when you stop thinking about them, they're still there. Because you're not just thinking now, you've added desire. Set your affections on things above. The moment you add desire, if you maintain that stance, it will seep from the spirit and literally come into reality. So you start to see red shoes everywhere. This one is wearing red shoes. This one's wearing red shoes. Someone's talking about red shoes. TV red shoes. It's showing you it has left. It's no longer there. It's now in this reality. You maintain that posture. It has to come. Either the money for the shoes, either the shoes, or someone steals shoes and brings them to you. You know? Are you getting what I'm saying? Huh? That's just the faculty of thought. Now, please understand, I haven't even brought in tongues, worship, prayer, sowing. We haven't even come to those. I'm talking about just thinking and something shows up. guys. And yesterday I was with someone, I told them that if you understood that the faculties of things that are of the spirit, worship, tongues, prayer, sowing, their power is far above need. Because need can be sorted just by you. Oh, I wish you knew. I wish you knew. You can literally just visualize something, it comes. And the desire of God was, that's why the Bible says he has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. There's a place where everything has been given to you. And so, when you take a posture and something comes, and I really don't, something comes, you start to live above need. So that means when I pray, need doesn't exist. When I worship, need doesn't exist. When I speak tongues, need is not what I'm posturing for. Huh? When I'm sowing, you can sow for deeper things than need. There's impartation. There is a door opening in the spirit, an entry. There's action. There's entries into dimensions. There are things a man can sow for that are deeper than need. And it's for this reason, that's why you must learn to practice spiritual crafting. on the weekend, someone told me an interesting story. That I don't know if they were speeding or something, and a policeman stopped them. So the policeman stops the guy, says, "Give me your license and all that stuff." So this guy says, "Please, forgive me, please." The policeman refuses. So what this guy does, he opens his door and picks soil from between the legs of the policeman. Policeman says, "You give me back my soil." "You give me back my soil." "Okay, yeah, you go, you go, you go. The ticket is what?" Now, kumbe, he was just picking soil. Eh? But you see, here in Africa, you never know. Eh? I know some chaps here are going to try that thing out. That thing made my day. That is wisdom from on high. And you see a policeman, eh? But if, imagine if you came in the name of God, "I'm a servant of God," what, "I'll prophesy," what, he says, But you pick soil. I says, "Put my soil back in the middle of my legs." And that once happened, you saw, because I once did something like that in office. Huh? There was a lady who was speaking out against me when I used to work, and I was in the office and people were laughing. So I picked a bottle of water. I poured water in a circle. I stepped on it, looked at her, and said absolutely nothing. Then I stepped out. It's like, "What have you done?" I'm like, "No, nothing, nothing, it's okay." "No, no, I'm sorry." So some of you, if you want to gain respect from your bosses, take soil. Anyway, so there's a function that God has put in man. There's a capacity that man has, even without first going into things like praying, sowing, just that. That's why a man in the world can sit and envision and things come to him, even if he's not born again. Because there's a default power that God put within man. Default. You're with me? And so, many of us haven't even practiced these things. We haven't. There's a day, I met a lady. She had a meeting with me a couple of years back. And she had a paper 1 hour after my meeting. And she came with her books because she was what? She was, you know, she wanted to do two things. Meet me at the same time. I told her, "No, that's not how things work." And some of you know this testimony because I picked her book. She came with a textbook. I prayed in tongues and just opened the book at random 3 times. I said, "This question is coming. This one's coming. This one's coming." She was the best in her class. Some of you are here when she, a while back. Huh? A while back. Now imagine, that's just praying in tongues and opening a book. Imagine. Someone is sweaty. Huh? Give me Ecclesiastes 1:14. Eh? Huh? Ecclesiastes 1:14. I believe that's the scripture. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. Under where? And behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. So what he's saying that anyone operating in the realm under the sun, you will get frustrated. You will get frustrated. It is a law in the spirit, under the sun, but above it. And this is why I tell you, if you knew, because I'm laying a foundation, I'm going to teach you some of these things, but we have to make sure it's not entertainment. So we'll take you one step at a time. There's a lady I met, and she's actually in this room. I looked at her, and I told her, you're going to have a dream about me. And I'm not talking about someday in the future. She was telling me, man, this is real witchcraft. Because she had two dreams. And I was explaining, because the person was asking me, how do you do it? I say, everyone can do it. You can literally transfer your consciousness into someone and make them think about you. Where was it when I was single? Back those days. And so we have to take you one step at a time. There is a power within man. Seek out these things. Learn. You see, when you envision something, it has a threshold, a time frame. It has a period in which it will finally come to you. The more you practice, that period reduces. If you give up, you literally take yourself back to be an ardent student. Be an ardent student. Let me tell you, the Bible is full. Let's look at it. The Bible is full of people who manipulate time. Someone makes the sun stand still. Someone goes backwards in time. Moses himself goes back to the day of creation. Are you with me? Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all of them go years ahead in the spirit. Do you know that when you dream, when you go to sleep at night, and you dream yourself in the past, isn't that a form of time travel? Because the mindset is, you think it's just a dream. You actually go places. You can translocate to anywhere in the universe because you're connected to everything. I know what I'm talking about. There's a man, prophet of God, called Bob Jones, passed away. I love his interesting story because he used to travel a lot to outer space and so on. In his books, he talks about it and his experiences. So one day, he's invited to a party and there's an astronaut at the party and he doesn't know that this person is an astronaut. So being a prophet, he walks into the room and sees a familiar atmosphere around him. So he walks up to him and says, you've been to the moon. And the man says, yes, I have. How did you know? He says, because I've been to the moon. And you can imagine the astronaut saying, what? Are you an astronaut? No, I'm a man of God. But let me tell you something. When you enter certain realms in the spirit, certain heights, you can tell when someone else, when you meet someone, you can tell when they've also been there. You can. So a man like Bob Jones is telling a full astronaut, I've also been there. Praise the living God. Let me show you something. I want to read something that I love. Rick Joyner's book, Final Quest. In his book, he says something. Because so many of you think that we're here, and so all those that have left are just chilling, waiting for us to. You guys. Oh, children of God. Can I just read this out for you? There's a part, there's a section I took out. He said, as I approached the judgment seat of Christ, those in the highest ranks were sitting on thrones that were part of God's throne. Then he says, the least of these thrones were more glorious than any earthly throne. Then he says, some were rulers over heaven and others over star systems and galaxies. And he's not talking about something that is future. He went, saw it happening currently. So, the people are always talking in future. Someday we shall be in charge of galaxies. People are already ruling. I can assure you, I was with someone, I said, you must learn to read the Bible in a particular way. Because it is, you see, the gospel is not just the gospel of transformation. It's a gospel of transfiguration. The literal change to be like Jesus, literally. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That means you can wake up in the morning and say, my life is your life. Say, my thoughts are your thoughts. It says, all the possibilities in you are mine. Because in the spirit, there is no distinction. When the Bible says, when God says in Isaiah 55, he says, my ways are not your ways, nor your thoughts my thoughts. He was not talking to a believer. Because the believer can get to know the ways of God. And scripture says the believer has the mind. That's how some of us tap into divinity. Can I go a bit deeper? You see, when a woman is pregnant, the baby dreams. Are you with me? And there are two types of dreams, two categories. There are three actually, but for the sake of this example, there are two major ones. There are natural dreams and spiritual ones. Now, if the baby has never been in the natural, what dream is he having? You guys. I can even share with you. You think I'm talking about your thing. I know what I'm talking about. It is possible to translocate while still in the body, in the womb. You have an incredible amount of weapons at your disposal. And someone sits there and says, they stole my phone. They stole your what? They stole your phone. All the functions that God has put in you, you can create literally anything. Literally anything. It just takes practice. You have to learn the art of it. Learn the art. People give up too quickly. Too quickly. In the dreams, when you go to sleep at night, you know scripture says this. It says, meditate upon the word. Day, and I was explaining to someone that when you meditate upon the word in the day, you're preparing for the rest of the day, especially in the morning. But what's the purpose of meditating upon the word in the night if you're going to sleep? It's for the dream world. Because in the realm of the spirit, there's no difference between activity during the day and activity while you're asleep. You can manipulate things, put things where they're supposed to be or not supposed to be, put yourself on a list, get yourself promoted, put yourself in someone's consciousness. Your boss sits down and says, Nagwe, Maria, Burijo, every single moment, you're on my mind. Every single moment, you're on my mind. And it doesn't take much, by the way. It doesn't, I'm telling you, you're a creation tool. When the Bible says we call the things that are not as if they are, what it's actually saying is you go, you pick something in the realm of things that are not, and you bring it here. Do you know that when people travel in heights of revelation, every time they capture one, the people that follow them have an easier life? So let me explain. Someone out there captured from the realm of the spirit this television. Because in the world in which he was in naturally, it did not exist. So when he picked it, life is easier for us because he picked it. Are you with me? So in the same way, even with spiritual things, that's the true secret behind fatherhood. When a man captures something, it is easier. Life is actually easier. Easier for you. Oh, I wish you knew. I wish you knew. Because 2016, I could not see in the spirit. That's 4 or 5 years ago. By the end of 2017, I was getting somewhere. Because I determined, I said, no. If a man walking in the Spirit says, what I have, you can have. I said, watcha. Why not? So I went to areas that boosted my self-esteem. So remember at office, where I was working, we used to have a prayer thingy every Wednesday. Actually, every morning. But on Wednesdays, they would invite a preacher. So a prophet walked in, and he picked me out, and he said, I see you calling out people's names, numbers, and prophesying. Now, people who are in the office, on that day, for them, they concluded in the prophet. You understand? So lunchtime, wait, lunchtime was tight. I had a line of chops. You understand? Eh? I started to pick things. I said, one, I had the confidence because someone had told me, I have it. Huh? And because these guys believed so much that I had it, even when I was wrong, they'll say, you can't be wrong. You can't. The other man said, oh, Chirina. Hey, do you know how many people's boyfriends I missed up? Huh? I say, I see someone called Hassan, but I don't see Hassan. Eh, maybe he's there somewhere and I haven't met him. And so what we got from office, we came to fellowship and said, now, these chaps here who have already seen someone doing, someone greater, eh? Huh, if you get something wrong here, they will laugh at you. So you go slowly. So you start. Hmm? I sense a Jonathan here. If he's not here, he didn't listen to God. He should have come. Because I cannot be wrong. I'm telling you, we practiced. And so there are measures or degrees of sight that begin to open up. And you begin to experience things. You can literally, the Bible says that Sarah, even though she was of old age, was able to conceive. The Bible says she received strength to conceive. Let me give you a scripture. Give me NIV. Proverbs 12:28. It says, in the way of righteousness is life. In the pathway thereof, there is no death. What he's talking about here is the path of life. The NIV says that along that path, there is immortality. That's the one I was looking for. Along that path, there is, please understand, it's not saying after you die. It says, in the way of righteousness is life. Then NIV says, and along that path, there is immortality. A person can literally not die. Literally. And it's not, even if you took it that way and say there's no death, there's absolutely no death. There's immortality. You can have regeneration. You know what regeneration is? Huh? While everyone else is growing old, your age is just, your appearance is going backwards. It's almost like time has no effect on you. praise the living God. Huh? Almost like time. And all that, imagine, if you knew the power the divine man has, to unseat literally anyone that is not of God. Unseat. But the thing is that the moment you gain, because you see, in the future, you're going to sit on a throne and rule. And you must learn to decree things the way God decrees them. That's why you're taken through this training ground. You're with me? You must learn to decree things exactly the way God wants, so that you and him are one. The Bible says, in him we live, we move, and have our entire being. There's a mingling of spirit. You are one. So if there's nothing that limits God, ideally nothing should limit you. If you know the crazy chaps I sit with, the things that those guys are busy crafting. You know, sometimes you need someone to demonstrate something to you, and you realize that you are asleep. And then he tells you, actually, I didn't even pray. I just woke up and I said, me, I'm going to master this thing. There's someone who came all the way from somewhere, a distance. I won't say where so that people might know who the person is. But came all the way from a distance, came to meet me, and asked me a question that I found profound. They said, man of God, I want to learn how to craft things in the spirit. And I sat with a person, gave him a few secrets here and there. Here and there. I said, to insulate yourself, always have an intimacy with God. Because power will corrupt you. Huh? I'm telling you, when you can do anything, someone will piss you off. Huh? And the Jesus just disappears for a moment. Eh? Huh? I said, walk on one leg. Praise the Lord. The things that I'm emphasizing to you are not figments of imagination. I have done things last night. No. No. Okay, we'll leave it. So, the Lord can get you to a place where you literally, which is actually the truth, you are meant to shape life, not life to shape you. Not life to shape you. Okay? That means that business, you can literally bring it up, you know, in no time. Because you see, when you pray, you enter the realm of timelessness, the one day I've been talking about. Huh? And in that one day, numerous things can happen. Rick Joyner had an experience. He went to heaven and he thought he had been there for 5 months. Came back here, it was 5 minutes. 5 months. I want you to imagine 5 months of revelation. 5 months. And here, 5 minutes had gone. Imagine the things that you can shape in your life. Imagine the things that you can plant in your life. It was, you know that all of us to some level are men and women of God. All of us. All of us. I told some time of a guy that I met who through blood could prophesy. He would look at someone's blood. Huh? You know the Bible says the life of a creature is in its blood. And he would look freaky, very freaky. Looking at blood, he said, can I just get a pin? Choo! Then looks at your blood, says, a few weeks from now, this is going to happen. And that's a person who's not praying. Hasn't sowed. Huh? Doesn't speak in tongues. You are more powerful than you could ever imagine. If I can tell you this one thing, if you'd go away with something, please understand that ideally you're not broke. You're not. You're not single. You're not. Because remember, when desire is added to thought, it concretizes. Oh, dear Lord. Huh? You can get investment in a period of a week or even less. Huh? If you take things as seriously, because God says it He says it in Genesis 11:6. He says, whatsoever man puts to his mind, nothing will be impossible to him. That's just the mind. That's just the mind. And so, you know, sometimes it's just because we have to accept when someone comes and they're all down and, oh my God, Rabbi, and things are what? And if only they knew. If only they knew. Because I told you the gospel is not just a gospel of transformation. It's transfiguration. To change you into a person of power. Literally. And we do it in levels and in degrees. The life Jesus talked about is not just your normal life. Read your Bible, pray every day. When I open the Bible, I open it with, Lord, give me your eyes. It's something I learned years ago, that whenever I would open the scriptures, I'd say, give me your eyes. Give me your eyes to see what you've hidden in scripture. Huh? Then it transitioned to give me your eyes to see the wisdom that you have to direct your people. Give me your eyes. Because God and you are one spirit. One. There are things that you're going through now that you actually have the power, but you resigned yourself to. Resigned yourself to it. Praise the living God. Amen. There's a lady in this room. I have testified to some people here. She came to me, and she wanted me to teach her something. And Instead, I demonstrated something to her. And I rarely do this because if I sense her, this might be entertainment to someone. I never want to throw pearls to the swine. So what I did, not that you're swine, but what I did was, so I called this lady, she's sitting with me. I told her, she said, finances were struggling and what? I told her, let me show you something. I said, pick a plausible amount of money in your mind. She said, 1 million. I said, I'm consciously thinking of it. And I told her, I know my threshold now is 3 hours. I said, as God is a witness, within those 3 hours, you will see that 1 million. Now, because where we were, time was closing. Here at Silver Springs, actually, they were closing. So I told her, go home, I'll send you the screenshot. So, and imagine, because the person asked me, were you thinking about the 1 million the entire time we were home? And I said, no, I even forgot about it. Went, child was watching some series. What? Then, you have received 1 million. I said, yeah, boss. And I sent her the screenshot with the time and everything. I've showed a few people here. I said, I wish I'd mastered it enough so that it comes that instant, but I haven't yet. But I know my threshold. And there is literally no difference between you and I except the desire and the fact that I am determined. I am literally determined. Praise the Lord. There is nothing you cannot shape. Nothing. Nothing you cannot shape. No one you cannot manipulate. No one. As long as they're not a Christian. Praise the living God. You're with me? So if you've come here with a problem, I want you to imagine for a moment that if you take a posture and say, you know what, I'm tired of this state. And if science itself says that the moment you make a determined choice, you bend time. Science says that. Then why stagnation shouldn't even be a Christian's portion at all? At all. It shouldn't be. Shouldn't exist in our conversation. Do you know that when Jesus entered, the Bible says that he rides in with a donkey and people are shouting praise and glory. And he says, if they keep quiet, even the stones. When a man, you know, you can capture an atmosphere from there and literally be a portal. Where you go, it is affecting everyone and they don't even know why they're jumping and why they're shouting. But it is affecting them. I know what I'm talking about. Literally affecting them. And you just come and people sit on the side. Kati, why him? Why? All of us are portals. When scripture says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, it's talking about you. You're a gate. You're a gate, an opening, a channel through which anything in the spirit can come here. But evil chaps are busy trying to manipulate it, doing stuff. They're saying, Busen, you send me? Mbu witchcraft me? Huh? There's a day I was in here in fellowship, walked out, and a guy, I've told you guys before, a guy literally in darkness followed me. And I turned, looked at him, and I said, let's meet on Monday. Monday we met. He came. Sat 3 hours with him. I was intrigued. 3 hours. Because he wanted to find out how. You know that, and some of them can come, they attend fellowships, just to see what it is that you can do. Yeah? So they play with machines, they do what? Hey, chaps. Huh? Play with machines. As if atmospheres need instruments. The Bible says you're the instrument. You're the instrument. If you haven't yet mastered this, how shall we get to the place where we talk about you walking and working with angels? How? I desire to reach there. But if someone is still having an issue with envisioning, then we can't go to angels because you need to see the angel you're working with. And you also need to be taught which one is the is manipulating, is a liar, and the other one, which is truth. You need to be able to discern. But if you're sleeping, waiting for to meet Rabbi at a certain point, or prophet this, or prophet that, let me tell you, the power that we have. I love to sit with men of God who talk about crafting. Those are the things they love to talk about. Huh? Changing form. Yeah. Now, for us, we have to first come to the place where we tell you, build, you can build that cake business. You can. The Lord blesses you. Huh? Do you know that prophecy, in its true sense, has a rank or a height, I'd call it a frequency, where a man can prophesy beyond the realm of time. I'm talking about the life to come and bring it literally here. So imagine for a moment, say, in the world to come, you are teaching people how to control time. And you meet a man with authority, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord says, you shall control time. And you see, because you've mastered meeting need, the next stage is the affection of things above. You're with me? For me, I told someone yesterday, no, God forbid that I should be picked out, and a man of God says, I see you need money here, and No, because if something can shape your destiny, if I sort out your money issue, I've sorted it out for you, but it can always come back. Are you with me? But when a person who can pick you out says, now I unlock that thing in you. Hey! You guys, set your affection on things above. I know a chap who was busy trying to practice how to levitate. Let me leave it. Levitate. When I look on YouTube and I see a monk doing it, and you say, are these things demonic? Listen, remember what I said? There is a default power in a man that when he connects to anything spiritual, even when it's absent of God, he can literally tap into certain things. Just a default power, because he has the Spirit of God. Set your affection on things above. I tried something one time. I went to sleep. And I know how to do it. So you focus on something. The scripture says that Nebuchadnezzar thought about the kingdoms to come. And as he thought about them, he went to sleep. And the dream he had was in line with that. So I went to sleep focusing on someone. So in the dream, I went and whispered, make sure you call me at 9 a.m. So I woke up at 6, dying to see if this thing works. You know, 6. And they rang at 9:01. I don't even know up to now why it was 9:01, but the excitement you can get. You say, what, Nang? These things actually work. These things work. You are more powerful than you could ever imagine. You are an instrument of creation. Praise the living God. You know, there are two things that billionaires right now are focusing on, especially in the world. The first thing is immortality. The second thing is to travel outside our planet. Two major things that people are putting money into. Something that a Christian can pull out of their pocket. Oh, dear Lord. What guys are spending billions for? You have life in you. In you.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.